Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for checking it out when you can. I hope you will, and use it to your advantage. It's a great site, if I do say so myself. We spend a lot of time and a lot of effort, and not a small amount of money, making that site available to you so that you can use it to your advantage and get some ideas and some encouragement and some tips on how to do a better job of running your business. Everything you can think about, just about that you in running your company, just about everything that you come up against in running your company, you should be able to find something, an article or an archive or several of each one of those, or something that will help you, a link to a website, a Brain Trust member who's got information that could help you. The community, with our Brain Trust, over 500 people, the community is vast. And if you think about the degrees of separation, you know, you have a lot fewer degrees of separation from you and the information that you're looking for because you know me, because you're part of our community as a listener, as a visitor to our website, as a subscriber to our newsletter. However you met us, however you found out about us, however you're listening, you're part of our community, and we're sort of like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. Once we find you, we don't turn loose of you. We're going to give you all this information and help that we can, and it's all free, 100% free to you, thanks to our corporate partners, our great corporate partners, and I hope you'll say thanks to them, by the way. By the way, on this day, and there are a couple of important things I wanted to point out. On this day in 1991, a huge, wonderful day in history, in the history of mankind. The Soviet Union, the parliament of the Soviet Union, formally voted the country out of existence. How about that? Think about that. Think about the 50-year Cold War that was waged with the Soviet Union, between the U.S. and the Soviet Union, and the parliament voted the country out of existence, 1991, on this day. That's a great day. Today is National Whiners Day, a day dedicated to whiners, especially those who return Christmas gifts and need lots of attention. Okay, if that's why you're whining, I'm gonna let you get away with that. But this leads me to some other things I want to talk about. And this is where you can't be a whiner. I want you to stop blaming others. I want you to think about this. How much of your life, how much of the time in your day, when things don't go well, when the red gets licked off your candy, when you get a little boo-boo on your shin, whatever it might be, do you look around and find somebody to blame? Do you look around and say, you know, this wouldn't have happened if so-and-so hadn't let me down or whatever? Or do you say, you know what, boo-boos happen. In fact, this particular one was caused by me. Or, you know what, I didn't do it, but I'm going to take responsibility for it because it happened to me. And, yeah, somebody else maybe could have done a little better job, but regardless, it's wasted energy, it's wasted time, it's wasted brain cells to blame others. Which one do you do? Are you a take responsibility kind of person? Or are you a blamer? Do you blame others? If you remember a visit I had recently with the Turknets last week, I think it was, and I actually also I invoked a memory of M. Scott Peck, the great student of human behavior, who wrote in his book The Road Less Traveled that there were two kinds of people who came to see him when he was a psychiatrist. One kind was what he called the neurotics, and they were the people who pretty much, they either blamed themselves or they took responsibility, and sometimes it created a problem for them. It created a functioning problem for them because they actually were down on themselves a lot. And then the other kind was the kind that were who were what he called character disordered. They had character disorders. And they blamed everybody else. Nothing was ever their fault. Everything that happened to them in life was because somebody else did it, and they took no responsibility at all. Well, he said, Scott Peck said, when he spoke to, when he treated a neurotic, he had a pretty good shot at helping them. He could turn their introspection, their negative, toxic introspection around and show them how to make it that productive, how to make that attitude, how to turn negative self-talk into productive responsibility. But he said, the character disorder folks, he said, I could almost never help them. And when I talked to the Turknets about that last week, if you remember, if you were listening, they said the same thing. So I want you, as we go through the next year, I want you to decide which are you? Are you more likely to be? And I know neurotic is a term that we often think of neurotic as a pejorative term, but let's just use that as a handy little word to use and say, okay, am I more likely to take responsibility, or am I more likely to blame others? And then as things happen to you, sort of keep a little bit of a scorecard. Keep up with how you behaved. And catch yourself. Catch yourself doing one or the other. And you will. You'll do one or the other. You'll either take responsibility. Maybe you'll blame yourself. And maybe you should blame yourself. Maybe it was a dumb decision. Maybe you should have known better. Sometimes it's the right, you're correct to blame yourself. So which is it? When something happens to you, when the red gets licked off your candy, when you get a little boo-boo, whatever might happen, whose fault is it? Does it need to be somebody's fault? Can we just say, you know what? This was something that happened. We couldn't have helped it. Or we could have helped it, but regardless, what did we learn? That's the most important thing. I want you to say that more in 2006 than you've ever said it before. What did we learn? And think about that a little bit. Stop blaming others. Take responsibility for your own life. When we come back, I want to talk about the work that you do and how you feel about the work that you do. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Reverend Al Wilson, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm talking about some things that have been on my mind lately and that I wanted to share with you. Got through talking about a few minutes ago about the importance of not blaming others, taking responsibility for your life. Now I want to talk about working at something that you love to do. Find the thing that you love to do. I've said this before. You've heard me say this. My mother told me this a long time ago. If you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. Now, in my life, I have had the fortune of loving what I did more than once. And to be honest with you, in all those other times, there came a time when I didn't love it anymore. And I left. I moved on. I didn't hang around. And I will tell you that in at least two of those cases, after about 6 years, five, 6 years, it stopped being fun. So I did for quite a while. I worked at something and more than once. And loved what I did, and it did not feel like work. I was ready to go to work every day. Of course, I guess I'm presuming that you don't mind working, that you actually like being productive, which I do. But if you understand that unless you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, you're probably going to have to work to make a living, to have the things that you want and that your family wants, that you're going to have to work. And so, but even so, even if you don't have to work so much, find whatever it is that you love. Find out what that is. Figure out what that is and move in that direction. If you're an employee and you hate getting up and going to work, why would you live your life that way? You didn't come into this world. You weren't brought into this world. You weren't raised to become a miserable person. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you stay and to continue to do something that you hate? I hope that you, and I realize in some way, some of you may have a situation where you do feel a little bit trapped. You've got obligations and it's hard to replace the job that you've got. But I would like for you to think about what I've just said and start moving. Come up with some way to move in the direction of finding a way to be happy doing what you do. Whatever that is, whatever you like to do. And one of the ways I think that you can do that is find stories about how other people have done that. They are out there, by the way. You just have to look around a little bit. I wish I had a book to tell you that you could go to, but they are out there. I've seen them. I've seen the stories where somebody was an attorney, for example, or was a doctor, or whatever, an accountant, and they wound up not liking what they did so much, and they became a woodworker as a pastime, or pick something. They found something else to do as a pastime, and in time, they quit being whatever they had been, and they were able to convert totally to this other thing that they really loved. But there was a point in time, there was a tipping point where they had to have some courage. They had to have a little bit of courage and a little bit of faith in themselves to make such a drastic change, to make a big change. And there probably were some adjustments that they had to make in their life. And when they made those adjustments, when they realized that they had maybe become a little bit of a hostage, when they realized that, then they found the courage somehow, and they moved on to something else, and they found a way to be happy. So I really hope you'll think about that. If you're not happy right now, I'm not saying that you have to be giddy about what you do, but if you wake up in the morning to go to work and you just can't stand it, I hope you won't do that very long. Let me tell you why. It's not just for you either, by the way. It's also for other people. You're not being true to the people you work for. Or if you're a business owner, if you hate what you do, you're not being true to the people you work with, who work with you. And you're not doing your customers any good. And I realize this is not easy, what I'm saying. It may not be easy. But I really want you to think about this for 2006. Find a way to be happy. And I don't want you to think about happiness in terms of money and stuff. Because if you can't be happy without money and stuff, you're not going to be happy with money and stuff. You've heard me say that before, and that is the truth. So find a way to be happy in 2006 if you're not already. And if you're already happy, if you're just so happy you can't stand it, share that. Whatever formula you've come up with, whatever method you've found that makes you happy, share that with other people. If you're an employer, if you're a boss, if you're a business owner, help your employees find that happiness. Quick break, right back with Tom Asacker right after these messages. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.